Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer and Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to find out more about natural healing. Now, I'm very thrilled and honored today to have Dr. Wynn Henderson as our guest. You're going to really want to listen carefully to what Dr. Henderson has to say. Dr. Wynn Henderson is a retired physician with over 20 years of clinical experience. He's the author or co-author of 41 books, including The Cure of Addiction, The Four Questions, Share Your Mission, The Deposition, The Secret to Happiness, The 12 Steps, and Freedom from Addiction. For the last 35 years, Dr. Henderson has been counseling both in person and by telephone clients all over the world on issues of addiction and finding one's life purpose. He is the host of the 17-year long-running radio internet talk show, Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, which seeks to give examples of how a life of purpose brings happiness, contentment, joy, peace of mind, and success. Dr. Henderson is an ordained Christian minister whose mission in life is to help those struggling with addiction. Welcome, Dr. Henderson.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be on your show today.
Now, Dr. Henderson, can you give everyone your website?
Yeah, that'll be www.freedomfromaddiction3.com.
Now, Dr. Henderson, as you know, addiction is an incredibly destructive and deadly disease. Why do you think addiction is the most destructive and deadly disease in the world?
Well, for one thing, with close to 7¾ billion people in the world suffering from the disease in one form or another, the pain and suffering, side effects and complications generated by addictive behaviors is really staggering.
Yeah, no, in my work as a medical intuitive healer, part of what I do is help people identify the root causes of their addictions. And as you know, there's all kinds of addictions. Drug addiction, both to legal and illegal drugs, alcoholism, overworking, shopping, all kind of eating disorders. Why do you think, Dr. Henderson, we have not been able to successfully treat and eliminate addiction from our society?
Well, in medicine, successful treatment of any disease begins with knowing what is causing the disease. And if you have a bacterial pneumonia, successful treatment comes by giving antibacterial drug. If you have appendicitis, successful treatment comes from surgically removing the appendix. And if you have addiction, which is a spiritual disease, successful treatment comes from applying a spiritual treatment, which is not being done now on any large scale.
What do you feel is the root cause of addiction?
The cause of this terrible disease of addiction that is ruining our country and the world is not what people would suggest. Addiction is not caused by a physical agent like a bacteria, virus, or something like that. It's not a biological lack or incorrect proportion of a chemical compound like a neurotransmitter in the brain. It is not caused by a defective gene, and it is not the result of environmental stresses. All addictive behaviors are caused by low self-esteem. And what causes the low self-esteem is a lack of spiritual understanding. So you've been lied to. Physicians, psychologists, social workers, and others have not told you the truth about addiction. The truth of addiction is that it's a spiritual problem, a disease of the spirit, and only a faith-based treatment program can permanently cure the disease. Only in developing a strong spiritual relationship with God can save you from the destructive and death associated with the disease. Now, I am a retired medical doctor, and in that sense, I am a scientist. I believe in proving theories of disease and its treatment, but I am also an ordained Christian minister who understands the spiritual connection necessary to cure this disease. We cannot go the way we have been going, with addiction getting worse and worse every year, being the direct cause of so many deaths and lives that have been destroyed from the inside out, lives that are ruining our marriages, our families, and all our other relations.
Now, I know that in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about the importance of developing this strong spiritual connection. How do you think, if someone's in the throes of an addictive behavior, that they can start to begin to develop this spiritual connection that's been missing from their lives?
Well, if you go back to the AA literature, they talk about a God of your understanding. And taken literally, that could be anything. It could be nature, for example. But being a Christian minister, I know that that doesn't work, not only because I've been associated with AA and written books on AA, but also the fact that they don't think that it works. They will say, we can't cure any disease. We can just keep you away from your addiction of choice. But AA, for example, they substitute another addiction, addiction of the meetings. I had a client once that was a poly drug user, and he would inject or take anything if he thought it would get him high. I think he would shoot peanut butter if he thought that it would get him high. And to be able to stay off of that behavior, he had to go to 35 meetings a week. Wow. Now, if you consider the time getting dressed, the time for the meeting, the time drinking coffee and maybe smoking a cigarette and talking to your friends, time going home, you can understand you have no life if you substitute meetings for drugs. And my program cures the disease, and you don't have to do that.
Now, so I know when I'm doing a medical intuitive reading, Dr. Henderson, I'm going to read the physical body, the energy body, the emotional body, the mental body, and the spiritual body. And it's my understanding that our soul controls our mind controls our emotion controls our energy system, and our energy system controls our body. So it's always my experience that when we work on the soul level, that's the most powerful level from which to do natural healing. Now, what do you see, Dr. Henderson, are the main symptoms of addiction?
Okay. Well, in my last 35 years of studying this, I'll give you the symptoms. And as you know, in any disease, when you go to a doctor, they ask you what your symptoms are. And the more symptoms that you have of the disease, the more likely you are to have it. So if you have one of these symptoms, you could be suffering from addiction. If you have all 21 of them, you definitely are. And here they are. The symptoms associated with addiction are anxiety or nervousness, depression, loneliness, unhappiness, discontentment, emotional pain, emptiness, a void, unworthiness, lack of love, lack of acceptance, unsuccessfulness, sorrow, fear, insecurity, sadness, boredom, resentment, self-pity, a desire for immediate gratification and pleasure, and suicidal thoughts. So if you're listening to me today and you have any of these, a lot of them, you're suffering from addiction in one form or the other, and we'll talk about those forms in a bit.
Yeah, so anyone who's listening, if you are, if you've identified yourself or with anything that Dr. Henderson has said, just know that there is hope. Now, Dr. Henderson, what are the 30 plus different types of addictive behaviors?
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people that are listening to you today, when you say addiction, the only thing they think of is drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. But I treat 30 plus different kinds of addictions. And think of these after I give you the definition of what addiction is and say, am I have a problem with this particular one? Now, the definition I want to give you is this. If you have a behavior, and I'm going to list them, that is causing you to be harmed some way or someone you love, and you can't stop it for whatever reason, then you're addicted to that behavior. And here they are. Overeating. Codependency or control of another person. Substance abuse. And that could be legal prescriptions or non-legal prescriptions. And we're talking about marijuana, alcohol, hallucinogens, opiates, which is getting a lot of press these days, killing a lot of people, inhalants, depressants, stimulants, anabolic steroids, gambling, kleptomania or shoplifting, smoking, smoking nicotine, sociopathic behavior, undereating, sexual and non-sexual abuse, workaholism, excitement, power, greed, recurrent plastic surgeries, teenage rebellion, sexual compulsions, overspending, negative thinking, hoarding or collectaholism, TV, computer, gaming, and smartphone overuse. That's what you suffer with when you suffer from the disease of addiction. And that's why I said earlier in the program, with around 7.75 billion people on the earth suffering from one of these things or more, we got a problem.
Yeah, listening to your list, it almost seems that addiction is part of the human condition at the present time.
It is. And it has been for a long time. But scientists don't want to associate spiritual things and with the illness. And so therefore they went and they tried to figure out everything in the book that they thought could be causing addiction. And they tried that and they tried that and they tried that. And that's why it's not getting any better, because those aren't the causes of addiction. And you can try those things all day long, all night long, and you'll still have a bad problem.
Now, here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, part of what we're here to do is empower people with drug-free solutions. And I know my own book, my eighth book that I just published last year, is all about how to heal pain and suffering without drugs, because like you talked about, opioids are completely out of control, and opioids are a gateway to heroin and destroy your brain and so on. So this is becoming even more of a pressing issue than it has been. In the U.S., the leading cause of death for people under the age of 50 is now drug overdose. So although addiction's always been a problem, it's now becoming even more fatal. So Dr. Henderson, I know that you have years of experience dealing with this. What are the three simple criteria you feel are necessary to cure from addiction?
Okay. Well, there's three criteria, and if you meet these three criteria, I've never had a client who has not cured themselves of the disease. So there's a big reason for hope. All you have to do is these three things and you're going to get well. And the first thing that you have to do, and this is what separates most of the people that get well from the people who don't get well, is you got to have an absolute desire to get over this disease. You know, there's lots of people out there say, oh yeah, I don't want to suffer from a disease of addiction, but I don't want to do too much on my end to work on the problem. And if you don't really want to get well, my program is not going to help you, but nobody else's program is going to help you either. And the second is, you have to have an unwavering belief that this can happen for you. And belief is the strongest spiritual motivator that makes the difference between getting well and not getting well. And the third is, you got to show up and do the work. And like I said, in the decades that I've been helping people with this program, I have not had a failure in individuals who met all three criteria. And when it says show up and do the work is in the book. You can do it at home. You don't have to take any time off from work. But you can't just say, well, I'll do it today, but not tomorrow or whenever I get around to it. That's not going to get you where you want to go.
Now, I really appreciate your three criteria. And can you sort of give them again as bullet points?
Sure. First, you got to absolutely want to get well. You have to have that in your brain. Yes, I've done so many bad things in my life that have hurt me. I'm tired of it. I'm going to do whatever is necessary now because I really want to get well. The second is, I believe I can. And my book gives you the things, and we'll talk about that a little later, where you can believe that you will get well. I want you to be able to feel certain that this is going to work for you. And the third is, show up and do the work.
Now, I really appreciate these three bullet points because I just want to make a comment regarding working with clients who are in pain, because many people have given their power away to medical doctors and drugs. And I have great respect for the medical profession. You're a medical doctor. My father and brother and uncle and grandfather were medical doctors. And so the medical profession is very powerful and can do a tremendous amount to help people. Same with medications. However, when we personally give our power away and we don't have that strong desire and we feel that we don't have to do anything to get better, then you're actually giving your power away, and that diminishes your results. I personally, in my healing work, I'll do healing work with people to be willing to get better, because many people are actually unconsciously or subconsciously blocking their healing program. And I find that there's numerous ways that people can even be addicted to pain. So I feel that addressing those psychological blocks are a necessary part of healing from addiction and healing naturally. Dr. Henderson, why do you feel that we have addictions to deal with anyway?
Well, I'm going to rely on my spiritual understanding, the fact that I'm a Christian minister, and, you know, it would have been simpler if in the Garden of Eden experience had worked out a little better. And we wouldn't have needed addictions. But addictive behavior sooner or later causes you pain and suffering, misery and losses. And it gets worse and worse. And sooner or later, if the addictive behavior doesn't kill you or hurt you bad enough, you're going to want to seek relief from that suffering. And it is precisely this pain and the subsequent chance to learn and grow from it that requires the creation of the process of addiction in the first place. And in this light, addiction can be seen not as a drug problem or an alcohol problem or a gambling problem or a relationship problem, and not as a problem only of a few unfortunate individuals. It's a problem for all of us.
Yeah. Now, one of your many books, Dr. Henderson, is called The 12 Steps. And The 12 Steps are a very, very powerful process that have helped millions of people all over the world. And, you know, based on your 35 years of experience working with clients and helping them overcome addictions, I understand that 12 steps is a process, but of these 12 steps, are there any particular steps that you feel are the most powerful or the most pivotal?
Well, some years ago, I wrote a book explaining the 12-step program and revising it. Step 6 and 7 say about the same thing. And I put them together and in that spot put a step of forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, your self-esteem is going to never be high enough that you'll be able to beat the disease. So that's the important thing is in the 12 steps is you've got to forgive. Because only after you've forgiven everybody else can you accept forgiveness for yourself and from God and to raise your self-esteem to make you the valuable person that you really are to the point that you'll be able to beat that disease.
Now, Dr. Henderson, when I'm doing healing work with my clients like you, I'm a big fan of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a big part of the healing work that I do with many clients. I personally really love Ho'oponopono, the very simple mantra that people can use. And I say to people, you know, forgiveness is like vacuuming. I may have vacuumed my house last week, but then a few things could have fallen on the floor between now and then, and I have to do it again. What's your favorite technique, help people forgive?
Well, you have to understand that forgiveness is not something that you do for somebody else. It's something that you do for yourself. And when I was talking to Deepak Chopra a while back, and he told me that other than surgical problems and some other problems, most of the internal medicine problems that he saw was the result of anger and resentment. And that's what you have when you don't forgive. You've got anger and resentment inside of you, and it'll boil over sooner or later, heart attack, a stroke. So you need to forgive because you don't want that anger and resentment being something that's going to hurt you or kill you. And it doesn't mean that you had to forget or you got to take the person back. It doesn't mean that. You just have to release that anger and that resentment by forgiving.
I'd like to share with our audience a real simple form of forgiveness that I use with my clients when you recognize you need to forgive. And I like it because it is so simple. And sometimes when we're stressed, we can't think very well. But what I have people do is put your hand over your heart. And you can say, think of the name of the person. So I would say, I love Dr. Henderson. Dr. Henderson loves me. I forgive Dr. Henderson. Dr. Henderson forgives me. So that's a simple mantra. I love the name of the person. The name of the person loves me. I forgive the name of the person. The name of the person forgives me. And then to activate different parts of the brain, I have the person do eye activation techniques. So they would say the mantra with their eyes open, looking up, inhaling and exhaling, eyes open, looking down, inhaling and exhaling, eyes open, look to the right, inhaling, exhaling, eyes open, look to the left, inhaling, exhaling, and then shut your eyes and repeat the eye activations. Shut your eyes shut, look up, eyes shut, look down, eyes shut, look right, eyes shut, look left. And by adding in the hand over the heart, you're really connecting more deeply to your soul, because when you forgive, you really want to forgive from the level of your soul. And by doing the eye activations, you're activating different parts of the brain. So if you're listening, you can write that down. And it's a very simple way that you can do that. Another thing that I like to do, sometimes the pain that we've experienced is so profound that we feel that we ourselves are not powerful enough to let it all go. But what I will have person do is I'll have them do a simple form of self-hypnosis, where I have the person imagine themselves sitting beside a beautiful lake. And then I'll have them imagine that this lake is universal God source, or however they want to put the name on universal God source. And then I have them think of if I put a drop of poison in a glass of water, that could poison me. But if that toxic chemical went into a lake, the lake could just wash it away. So I have the person visualize themselves beside the lake and having the very powerful, serene lake take over the bitterness, the resentment, the anger, and just simply wash it away out of that person. So Dr. Henderson, in your experience, how long does it really take for a person to forgive and let go?
Well, actually, it can be done instantly. You can, if you make a decision to forgive, you can forgive one person or every person that's ever hurt you in a moment, because everything comes back to your thoughts. Change your thoughts, you'll change your environment, you'll change how the world reacts to you and everything. And if you refuse to not have those thoughts of anger and resentment and all the negative things that we talked about, because you know that it's not in your best interest, you can do it instantly.
And why do you feel that it's important for us to forgive ourselves?
Well, it's because addiction is caused by low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is caused by lack of spiritual understanding. And if you carry around in your brain the idea that you did something wrong, that you weren't good enough, that's going to stand in the way of you being able to be cured. So you have to forgive yourself. And the Bible says you've got to forgive other people first, then you can forgive yourself, and you can accept God's forgiveness. And when all those three things come together, it tremendously elevates your self-esteem, your value as a person, as a spiritual being. And that's the goal that you want to get to.
Now, we're talking also here about self-esteem, which you feel is the root of all addiction. So what do you feel is the best way for people to improve their self-esteem? If a person has low self-esteem and they realize that they're in the throes of an addiction or possibly multiple addictions, how can they go about improving the way they feel about themselves?
Okay. In the second part of my book, there's a recovery program, and we can get to that if we have time and everything, but it's a 5-part program, and I can tell you the 5 things that you need to do in order to be able to improve your self-esteem.
Please do share. Tell us.
Okay. Well, we'll go into that now. And the first step that's going to improve your self-esteem is education. You need to educate yourself. Now, whether that be go to school, get a mentor, read a book, listen to a YouTube video, it doesn't make any difference. Every day, you have to be more and more educated. And the more that you are a couch potato and only watch stuff on television that does not educate you but brings you negativity, the less that that's going to improve your self-esteem. But the more that you do any of those things, the better off you're going to be. The second thing is creativity. Now, creativity could mean painting, sculpting, singing, or doing recipes. There's so many things that you can do creatively that other people can't do or couldn't do as well as you do, but it makes no difference. What you do creatively, you just have to do it on a regular basis. And we have a little calendar in the book that you put down what you're going to do and check it off whether you did it or not. So be creative every day and you will value yourself more as a person. The third thing is physical fitness. And just like education will improve your mind, physical fitness will improve your body. And you can imagine if your body doesn't look like you think that it should look, you're not going to have a very good self-esteem and you're not going to value yourself. So you want to do something in the physical fitness arena. The fourth step is forgiveness. And I made this into two parts. Step 4A, the forgiving other people, which we already talked about, and part B, helping other people. And that doesn't mean that you have to write somebody a $1,000 check. It could be something as simple as being kind to somebody and saying hello to somebody that's lonely, or it could be more. But do something to help someone every day that you're not expecting to get anything back from, and wait and see how much that improves your self-esteem. Back when I was in the practice of medicine actively, I would have patients come in with depression wanting Prozac or something. And I'd say, you're not low on a chemical. That's not why you're depressed. Go out and every day do something to help somebody that's worse off than you are and come back in 30 days. And you know what happened? Most everybody said, I don't need any drugs. Okay, so step 5 is the spiritual development step. And of course, it's probably the most important single step. And there are 6 subgroups. And the first subgroup is developing and discovering your mission. And we can talk about that in a little bit deeper detail because it's very important. The second step is the 12-step program. You can go to meetings, you can do it at home, you can do it by reading books. All the 12 steps are good steps for people to have regardless of what their addiction might be. The next sub-step is affirmation or prayer. You want to affirm things, and when you do it in a prayer to God, it will come back to you in the next step, which is meditation. And if you will let your mind go and not be so controlled by everything that's going on in your life, you'll get an answer to those affirmations or prayers. The next one is changing associations. You can't stay sometimes with the same people. You might have to divorce yourself from your wife, move out of your mother's bedroom. Don't be a bartender if you've got a problem with alcohol. Don't go and hang out with people that are smoking all the time if you've got a nicotine dependency. You have to change associations if you want to get well. And the last part of the spiritual part is you could pick organized religion, you could pick Bible study, you could pick inspirational reading, something like that on a regular basis. And that's what you do. It's in the book. We've got a calendar for you to keep up with it. It's a matter of do that or keep your addiction.
You know, these are all very positive steps, and anyone who's listening can pick any of these and really experience profound natural healing. And I agree with you that these are very important steps to take, way more important than taking drugs, taking supplements. Although those can be helpful as well, you have to be working on the soul level in order to truly overcome addiction. So Dr. Henderson, you know, we all want to be inspired. And a lot of times somebody listening to this may go, but you know, that's for somebody not as bad off as me. Would you be willing to share with us perhaps your worst case success story, where someone who was really, really bad off got well using your program?
Well, I just did a program for ABC News in Asheville this month, and they asked me to bring a client along, and he's 26 years old, and he's a smart guy, but back when he was a little younger, because of anything or everything or nothing, he decided that he wanted to sell drugs. And so he got selling drugs, and as a result of selling them, he got started using them. And he had a physical impairment. I believe it was an injury in his shoulder. The doctor gave him some opioid pain relievers, and he went from that to heroin. And so, you know, it doesn't really make any difference what your addiction is. You can be really bad as a negative thinker, and that can kill you. You could take drugs, that could kill you. Any of these things could hurt you terribly. So one addiction, in my opinion, is just as bad as another. They come from the same cause. They can be treated the same way, and we get the same success results from the treatment. So pick your poison, if you will, but it doesn't really make any difference. You shouldn't look down your nose on somebody else because you think your addiction is not as bad as theirs.
So, Dr. Henderson, if someone's listening to this program and, you know, they think, well, again, this stuff will work for people who are not as bad off as me, what would you say to people who are really feeling hopeless and discouraged and truly at the end of their rope? Because as you know, the one of the worst consequences of addiction is actually death. So what do you say to those people who are really, really in a point of hopelessness?
Well, I would go back to what I told you earlier. If you do three things, you'll get well. It happens every time. I've never had a client that it didn't happen to. So if you really want to get well, if you believe you can, and if you'll do the work, which is laid out in the book, you will get well. I can guarantee it.
Now, you've included an open letter in your book, Freedom from Addiction 3. Would you be willing to share that with us?
I will, and I want you to understand that I believe that this is a spiritual problem. I believe that it has to do with spiritual warfare between good and evil in the world. And so I wrote this letter to try to help children understand what's going on before perhaps they get in, as involved in it as they would. And I believe that if this letter were written and read by every school child in America, that we would have a different outcome on how they develop. And so here's what I said. My name is Addiction. I am waging war against all nations and do not plan to take prisoners. Like a thief in the night, I will pillage your people, rob them of their dignity, peace of mind, and eventually their lives. The world will be in shambles before I am through. The more the merrier, red, yellow, black, white, none are precious in my sight. Rich or poor, I have no favorites, but must admit I have fun picking on the sad and lonely, the weak and sick, and I really get a kick out of young people who do not have a clue. It is a quick seduction to entangle them in my web. They are mine from a single puff on a reefer to the pop of a rubber band, and from the first taste of liquor to the bottle's last drop. It is easy to enslave them on social media. Screens entice them into sexual promiscuity and convince them that they need a cigarette or another Twinkie. There are over 30 addictive behaviors in my arsenal. Yeah, that's my greatest thrill. Enslave them young and I will have them for life. Now, don't get me wrong. I was invited to this party and they made me the main attraction. And realizing that I was in the land of the innocent, I took advantage like a fox in a hen house. Just try a little, I would whisper. That's all it takes. a small temptation to get them started, and they do the rest. Making sure that they have all the crappy dope and cheap liquor that they need is easy. They will snort, shoot, drink anything. It's really fun to put pesticides and all manner of trash in their stash. It's like watching an already dead man's duel with a pistol and one bullet. They're soon mine because there are only 5 empty chambers. AIDS really adds another level of satisfaction to me. My ultimate thrill is to watch them struggle in pain as their emaciated bodies lay dying. And the last words they speak are often these: "What have I done to myself?" And when they're dead and gone, I get a bonus. The lives of their family is in tatters. The family is grieving because they fiercely loved you, my prey. The damage of addiction is vast, wide, and long. Mother dies from heartache, but the real culprit was all the grief and stress that she went through. Daddy does not linger long either. Why stay when all his money was long gone before they buried you? It does appear that there is one thrill left. Your parents both go to their grave wondering if they will meet you in heaven. They are not sure because the last time they saw you on earth, you were blaming them for all your problems, cursing them, and demanding their money. Your daddy always felt that the bad choices that he made in his life somehow rubbed off on you. And just to let you know, I did get a kick out of watching you cringe in the corner as you watched your daddy beat your mother. Unfortunately for me, they both got it right with God before they died, and you rescued their sorry souls. Most of your brothers and sisters rarely think of you today. They're just glad to be rid of the guilt, shame, and embarrassment they felt every time they looked at the shell of humanity that you ended up being. And now the game is not quite finished. Your little brother was closely watching all your debauchery, and now he thinks he might give it a try. And surprise, surprise, you left a baby in the belly of your last partner, a baby that does not stand a chance. He is your last sacrifice. It turned out just like I wanted, completely destroyed inside and out. Your eyes are yellow from all the booze. Hepatitis and liver damage would have killed you anyway, but it gives me great joy to announce that your appetite for momentary escape from reality took you much sooner. A shell of your former self, alone, without family, you left this world high as a kite, in total oblivion to the darkness you were about to enter. The darkness filled with all the rejected, discarded souls that I have tortured and killed. Your so-called friends stole your few possessions at the end and disappeared in the night before your body was cold, and 911 never got a call. I feel like gloating. You lost your chance to make a change. All the talk of repentance and redemption went right over your head. Like a sheep led to slaughter, you were an easy target. Had you known a very simple prayer, you would have not been so easy to reel in. We may have never met. Your parents were older when they finally changed their ways. Much too late to do you any good. I waited patiently until I knew you were ready. I pretended to be your friend, bolstered your low self-esteem, and temporarily made you feel like a king, but only temporarily, I'm proud to say. And just a footnote to rub it in, you could have been a man with everything, a nice family, a beautiful home, pillar of the community, respected by all your family and friends. Your life could have been filled with purpose as you reached out to help your fellow man. You could have had all the peace, joy, and happiness in life if you'd opened your eyes and realized your value as a child of God, if you had allowed him into your life to be your constant friend and advisor. God gave you all the tools you needed to complete your mission in life, but you didn't use them. Yes, one simple prayer to God: please give me, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiveness, would have protected you for me. You know, just the mention of those names, God and Jesus, completely steals all my joy. That's the reason I keep my flock under the influence, so they cannot hear the sweet words of Jesus calling them, come home, my child, come home. Yes, that is what you are, a lost child who ran out of chances. You are now lost in darkness and are forever mine. And now I'm sure you can figure out the rest of the story. It's been a pleasure wrecking your life and stealing your soul, your friend addiction, also known as Satan.
Wow, that is such a powerful, powerful piece of writing. You've been listening to Dr. Wynn Henderson, and Dr. Henderson is one of the world's foremost authorities on spiritual cures for addictions and natural cures for addictions. Dr. Henderson, will you tell us about your podcast, Freedom from Addiction?
Sure. Back in the old days, when I got started 17 years ago, we use analog radio to do talk shows. And when I got started, believe it or not, my first radio station was 1,000 watts. And I believe the signal would reach out of the station's neighborhood into the next neighborhood. It's not very far and not very many people. And over the years, things got better and better and better until the internet came along and gave us podcasts on iTunes. And now we can take our talk shows and broadcast them to the world. They're archived now. You don't have to hear them on Thursday at 5 or miss them. And they're available 24/7 to listen to. And you can go down and pick which ones you want. I have a podcast on iTunes called Freedom from Addiction. And there's probably over 60 programs on there about addiction that you can listen to.
You were saying the best one is?
No, I was going to say the best way to get there quickly. You can go to iTunes and download that and then look for it. You could just Google search iTunes podcast, Freedom from Addiction, Wynn Henderson, and that should take you right to where you want to go.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. This is your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer and Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at katherinekerrigan.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to learn more about natural healing. And remember, you can heal addiction naturally and by working on the most profound level, your soul level, you can lick the disease of addiction naturally. Dr. Henderson, any final thoughts?
Well, I wrote a book once called The Four Questions. There are four spiritual questions that if you can answer them and apply them to your life, you'll have a totally different life. And the question that has the most relevance to the problem of addiction is question number 3. What am I doing here? And I believe that each of us has a purpose, a mission in life. And if we can discover it and then pursue it, it'll make all the difference in the world. And so you say, well, how do I find my purpose? I don't know what it is. And I would say the way that the people that I try to advise do it is by that prayer and meditation cycle. You pray something like, if I had no limitations, because you really don't have any limitations other than the ones you put on yourself. And if I didn't care what other people thought, not my parents, my children, what could I do with my life, what's left of it, that would be the most valuable thing to help other people and to bring them the most joy and satisfaction in their life? And then on ending, that I would know that I had made a contribution to helping them. So that's the third question. That's the one that you want to delve into. That's the one that you want to find the answer to. And that, along with the other things that we talked about in the book, will definitely cure your disease.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.